Good morning, everyone. Now, the reading today comes from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. The reading comes after Pentecost, when Peter has addressed the crowd, and many, many people have become believers. So it's entitled, The Fellowship of the Believers. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And now the second reading comes from Matthew chapter 22, 37 to 39. Now, Jesus had just been asked a question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, and now I'm going to welcome up Andrew, who looks like he has chocolate. Thank you, other half. Remembering that the answer is Jesus or chocolate. I'll just pray for Andrew and we'll get started. Lord, thank you so much for Andrew and all that he is and all that his family is and that they bring to this beautiful community. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you are indeed here and with him and through him we'll hear whatever it is you have to say to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, William. I do indeed have chocolate. I thought, why should the kids have all the good fun? And we can have a bit of chaos here as well. Well, maybe a little. So, I'll just organise myself here. Can anyone remember the snowman from last week? Can anyone remember the verse from the snowman last week? Can somebody tell me, because I've forgotten. It was something about trusting God, wasn't it? Oh, very good. You get a chocolate for that. Where's my chocolate gone? I need a chocolate helper, Lily. Do you want to be a chocolate giveawayer? Oh, God. The young people, they always want something. Very good. I just wanted to see if anyone listened. So for more... I could talk from behind there. No way. Don't be so mean. If I drew three connecting circles, the spirit of Nigel comes upon us. For those who don't know, Nigel Dixon was the vicar here hundreds of years ago now, it seems like. Oh, can we turn that off, please? So hard to get good help these days. Oh, sorry, that's my fault. There is a chocolate or two at bay. If somebody can come in, if we were talking about our three main ways of communicating who we are as a parish, what would they be? And who would like to come and draw them for me? Because there are chocolates in space. Now, this is interesting to see who actually knows. If I started you by saying, we are... Oh, who was calling out that time? Didn't we talk about this last week? Was it you again, Claire? I see that hand. Yes. We are community. Yeah, you have to give chocolates out for these things. And as a community, what are we doing? True. Half a chocolate, take a bite out of it and give half to Prue. You don't want my chocolate now. Oh, we are community, forming community. Now, I think we kind of got all the answers, but they were kind of, you know, scattered all over the place. What was the one up the top here? We are... Yeah, I'll take the shouting out. Who was it? Come on, Carol. Give Carol a chocolate. And what are we doing as disciples? We are disciples following. The answer is always... We are disciples following the chocolate. And over here, we are on... you can choose who that was. I wasn't looking. And what's the next bit? Julia gets a chocolate for transforming cities. So what I'm going to do today, today and next week, we're going to do a whistle-stop tour of some of what this means and around... the details of some of these things. And I'm going to dig into the details of some things more than others. So you're not going to get everything because we'd be here for 6 weeks. But I'm going to give you a bit of an overview of where we are and what we're doing as we start the year to just give us focus. Now, all of this is with a caveat. In a few months' time, we're going to have a vicar. And I'll be sitting down the back. No, I won't be. I'll be pushing my way. No, but so when Chris comes, there's a whole lot of stuff that's going to be, he's going to sit and watch and he's going to be a part of this. But this is kind of who we are and where we've come from. So some of this may change in slight way we do things, and there'll be different things that we've talked about as he comes with new ideas and with new vision and with new. But this is all saints of who we are. And it's not something that I've come up with. It's something that we've gone through a process over a number of years, and it's rather than one person having a great idea, and this is my vision, and you better all follow it, it's actually reflective of who we are as a body and who we have been over many, many years. And I don't see that much of that has changed. The flavor has changed a little bit, the individual things that we end up doing have changed a bit, but this to me seems like, having looked at over a large period of time, that this is kind of who All Saints is and has been, and hopefully will be in the future. So, if we could have that slide up now, please, Lynn, that'd be great. So this is all the details of it, and of course we've got that word transformation in the middle, because the whole deal is about lives being transformed by the power of God. So one of the things I want to do, and if we go to the next slide, please, one of the things that we look at is the whole goal is about going from crawling to flying. It's about becoming mature. And we're looking at the whole thing of our discipleship. So if we look at that, we are disciples and we're following Jesus, that is part of our discipleship process and journey, that the goal is around us becoming more mature. And not just more mature in the natural sense as we get older. And we won't look at anyone in particular who's getting older and older all the time, eh, Dan? Because I remember when I first met Dan, he had lots of hair and it was all black. When I met Dan, I had lots of hair and mine was all brown. I won't say why I got the... We don't know, I'll go there. But it's about becoming mature in Christ, isn't it? It's about becoming mature. It's about growing. It's about becoming who we're supposed to be in God. And I've got the Superman cape on, because when we're mature in God, we end up being a part of something that is way beyond our own ability. Because we're part of a body of God. We're part of a spirit world that allows us to be greater than who we actually are. It allows us to be involved with things as the Holy Spirit leads through us and moves through us. So it means when we lay hands on people, they get well, sometimes. And when we pray for the impossible to happen, it happens, often. And there are times and times again, and I have to say that there's been times in my life when I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed, and it felt like nothing's happened. And then somebody has come years later and said, oh, when you prayed for me, did you realize that da-da-da-da-da? One of the things Elaine has prayed for over a number of years is for people who wanted to have families to become pregnant. And it's not 100% rate, but it is something that it's almost like God has given her faith for. And so when she crochets a blanket often and gives it as a step of faith, the numbers of times we've seen the impossible happen and families created because of the power of God. And that's why when I say, yes, we want to become mature, but we want to become mature and not just in growing old and getting more wisdom from a natural sense. There's a supernatural part of who we are, and that allows us to fly. And that's the point of us being disciples, is that we want to be on that journey that says we want to follow Jesus, but we want to grow. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I've found in my life that I've got to a stage where I think, I kind of know everything. I don't really need to know anymore. I've had enough life experience. I've got experience up to here. I don't need any more. But actually, it never stops. And every time we come back to God and every time we willingly and intentionally say, God, I want you to grow me, we find there's another layer. There's something new. And that's the kind of culture that we want to have at All Saints. We want to have that culture that says we want to be a growing people. We want to have that sense of maturity. We want to be on that discipleship journey. If we could have the next slide, please. Now, you may not be able to read this. I've got a couple of quotes from Mike Breen, who wrote a book, Building a Discipling Culture. And he says that we've become so acculturated, is that a word, in our Cartesian Western world that we believe knowing about something and knowing something are the same thing. What we've managed to do is teach people about God, so we teach them to pray. We teach them about mission. The point isn't that they would know about it, but that they know it. If I can have the next slide, please. Can we have the next one? So one of the things that when Elaine and I were doing kids, one of the things that we had this fear of is that we would teach our kids so much about God that we would inoculate them from getting the real deal. I'm not saying inoculations are bad. I'm just saying as an illustration. We had this fear that we would teach our kids all the stories from the Bible and we'd teach them about Jesus, but what we really wanted to do is we wanted to introduce them to Jesus. We wanted them to know the Jesus, not just know about him. It's not about a head knowledge. It's about a heart knowledge. That's what discipleship is about. Next one, please, Lynn. So these are some of the things. Here's another quote. Again, from Mike Breen. We don't want people to understand forgiveness or prayer or mission or justice only intellectually. We want people who can forgive, who can hear and respond to God, who actually know him. We want people who have hearts that break for our world and the people in it and do something about it. We want the kind of people in our communities who resemble the people we see in Scripture. There's a sense of we want to be a people who know and be and are real in that space. It was interesting, the last couple of days, the interns and Davis and I went up to Rangawahia Hut. Yes, in the rain and the wind. And it's interesting whose cell phones ran out the first. It's really good because it's one of the few huts in New Zealand you've actually got data coverage. But it's really interesting mine was gone first because it's the oldest probably. But but it's interesting to see who was on their phone, and I'm no criticism, no judgment, but I'm just saying whose phone ran out. And sometimes it's because theirs were newer and all the rest of it. But it's interesting, there was one person who, walking down, was the only one who had battery left in their phone. The rest of ours had all died. See, we're so bound into this knowledge world that we are constantly seeking knowledge. But the danger is that we don't get the life. We don't get the real deal. because we want to be a people of real deal. And in this slide, what this talks about, this is some of the strategies that we have of being disciples, that we want to actually grow leaders, not so they know how to be a leader, but so that they are good leaders. So we did the year-long study last year where we involved the whole of our leadership group through a leadership series. Not so they knew all the details, but so they had opportunity to grow as leaders. So they had mentors. So they outworked the knowledge. That's what discipleship is. And that's the kind of culture we want to have at All Saints, that we grow into this. And I'm not saying we've got there. I think, you know, we've started in some good spaces. All our different services are about our discipleship with Jesus, all about our life with God. It's about growing that. We have our small groups that we have an ability to grow. We have our prayer triplets as we pray with one another, not so we know about prayer or that we know about the people we're praying for, but we are prayers, that we are leaders. We have internships, not so that they learn more stuff in their head, but they become more mature in their walk with Jesus. So we took them up a hill, not so they could walk up a hill. We took them up a hill so that they could be together and learn together and grow together and become better and more mature. We've got DIO things like Ministry Leaders Family Camp and DIO Training Days, where again, we get lots of input, but we want to have a culture that doesn't just receive input, but we outwork it in real ways. We want to have more prayer nights. We want to have more worship nights. So we have an opportunity to be the people of God around being rather than just doing. So these are some of our things in our discipleship journey. If I could have the next slide, please. Sorry if you can't see this, but one of the things that we really want to do is we want to be really intentional about what this looks like. So we've looked at some of those strategies that All Saints are looking at doing. And there's a whole lot of areas where we would love to grow some of those spaces. And there's some really important ones, which I'll go into a bit more next week. But this is around, this is a document from, again, the same book around building culture. And it's around high challenge, high invitation. And to build a culture, we want to have high invitation and high challenge. And I don't have time to go around all the details of this grid. But what it does is it empowers people to do what they are called to do and be. So I don't want to be part of a church that is constantly waiting for someone up the front to say, look, I really want to do this. I really want us to be a church of red cars. So let's go and buy a red car. Obviously, it would be a Toyota because that's, you know, we wouldn't be allowed to buy anything else, would we? So it's not, for me, it's not about a yes, as a leader, we'll give vision. We'll give the ability to see this is where we're going. But I believe that we need to be a part of a body that is empowered so that you end up doing what you're called to do. And the role of a leader or a leadership team is to notice those things and encourage them so that you're ending up doing what you love doing and are good at and what God has called you to do. So you don't just follow, look, there's some obvious things that just need doing, and we love servant-hearted people, don't get me wrong, who are prepared just to do whatever and anything. But, you know, I believe 2 years ago I got an impression around that there was a seeds buried in the soil that were coming to be awakened again. Because I believe that even in this room, I can guarantee there will be people here that have got seeds of hope and seeds of things that God has put in them many years ago that haven't come to fruition yet. As a 16-year-old, I thought I was going to, I was talking to the interns about this up the hill. As a 16-year-old, I was told I had so much potential. I was going to be a leader, da-da-da. So I thought as a 16-year-old, I was going to be the youngest church leader that New Zealand had ever had. I was going to be the best church leader. I was going to be... And the words of encouragement actually fed my own ego to think that I was going to be God's blessing to the nation. But it probably took 45 years to come to fruition in a way that's actually healthy. And 45, I've done my maths wrong, but you get the image. It takes time before God actually released me into a position of leadership that was significant in that space. God grew me in a whole lot of other places, and I talked about my first youth group, which was horrendous as in a 17-year-old. It was terrible. I got told by one of the people in the group that somebody else should lead. And in my wisdom, I said, I'm not listening to that. You're wrong. They were actually right. We do what we can, and we always, you know, there's always a sense of failure and the rest of it. And I have had opportunities to show leadership through many parts of my world and many parts of my life. And I've, you know, we've led kids, I've led youth, we've led churches at different times, we've helped out in church leadership over many, many years. But I feel like I'm a better leader now than I've ever been, because I constantly want to grow. And it's usually because of the people around you that are encouraging you and informing you. And it's really hard to take it, but we have to have that. To be a discipleship culture, we also have to have a sense of willingness and security in our own self that we can take a bit of criticism. And someone says, look, when you did that, I'm not sure that was the best thing for you to do. And you can take it and go, you stupid person, what do they think? Or you can go, actually, you know, you're probably right. How can you help me grow that? See, I want us to be a part of a culture that has that sense of strength in who we are. Our identity is in Jesus, that we are empowering people to be free to be who they're called to be. And if we all did that, the place would be marvelous, wouldn't it? Sorry, I got off track a bit then. Next slide, please. So, Pete Scazzero, who has written books on emotionally healthy leadership, emotionally healthy discipleship, spirituality, a whole lot of stuff. He says there are four failures or four reasons that the church often fails in this whole sense of having a discipleship culture in a positive way. And one of the things is that we tolerate emotionally immaturity, that we allow people to live and wallow in their own self, I don't want to say weaknesses, but anyway, because so often we are so insecure, we don't want to change because that threatens our personhood. And if our personhood is threatened by that sort of thing, then there's something wrong with us. And it's not, we've all got them, we've all got the things that push our buttons and make us feel all the rest of it. But actually, we need to have, emotionally, we need to be strong in our own personhood so that we can be spiritually strong. He says an emphasis on doing for God rather than being for God. And how true is this in church? You are encouraged to do. But actually, what's the most important thing? That we are his kids. He lives with us. We live with him. We are being. So important to be being before we doing. That we ignore church history is another thing. That we don't see what's happened in the past. We just think, we've got the idea. This is the way it should be. Bang, away we go. But actually, we can learn from history. We can learn from church history. We can learn from what's gone before us. We have an ability to see the pattern and the place that we are in the world through church history. And that we define success wrongly. Because so often we can see that success is around how many numbers we have on a Sunday morning, Thursday afternoon, or Tuesday night, whatever it looks like. But actually, success is about our own discipleship, our own growth. How many people are becoming more like Jesus? How many people are searching after him? How many? And look, I think there are some things that I think are really helpful in this. And I think financial giving is one of them. How many people are attending is another. There are triggers, but they are not the most important things. They are indicators of where we're at in a spiritual way. But the most important thing is that we see success in the way God would see success, and that's to see lives being transformed, which is why in our big picture, that transformation is right at the middle. And it's not just that we become transformed, but actually there's a sense of transformation in the wider and those who aren't with us and don't know God yet. So sorry, I've spent a lot of time, nearly all my time. I'm just going to whistle through the next little bit. But that's around our discipleship journey. We really want to be, to have a discipleship culture that is growing and that we intentionally choose to step into that. That's up to you. That's not up to me in that sense. I can't force you to grow. But what we can as a leadership team is we can provide opportunity for you to grow. We can provide opportunity for you to be a part of small groups, to be a part of triplets, to be a part of services, so that then you take your responsibility for your walk with Jesus and that you allow that to grow. I'm just going to just touch on a few things. So yesterday, or the last couple of days, as I said, we went on this walk up the hill. There we are, trudging up the hill, packs on our backs. Just a few things around, because all of this whole discipleship thing, it makes more sense when you do it together with each other. It makes more sense being in community. So as we are community and we're forming communities. So one of the things I noticed around our tramp and staying over for a couple of nights up in the hills, and one of them was that there was one situation where one of the group carried the bag of somebody else because they were finding it difficult. So young Ben picks up the bag and he carries it for someone. That's community. Make the context in your own world. How do we carry each other's bags? And occasionally there would be a voice from the back, "Come on, guys, you're doing all right. We'll get there." And then I noticed after I'd said that a couple of times, somebody else said, "Doing really well, guys. Come on, we'll get there. Keep going." It was hard work. We were walking up a steep hill. I was struggling. Sometimes we had to stop and wait for someone who's slower. Sometimes we need to wait as community. Sometimes we need to pause and let others catch up. Sometimes that's life is like that as well. And being good community means we have to wait for each other. Because I've got the good idea because I've been sitting in my office and I've been praying and I've been thinking about it. So I've got it all sorted in my head. But if the rest of the leadership team or the rest of the church has no idea about it, and when we were leading, helping lead out in Tamangawai over in Highbury, I was full-time teaching at the time, and Glenn would come up, "I've got this great idea." He'd read the latest book, and away we went. And I had to go to him at one stage and said, "Mate, just slow down a minute. You've been sitting, praying, talking, mulling this through for the last 3 weeks. This is the first time I've heard it. Can you give me a chance to catch up?" We need to give each other chances to catch up. Because I want to do this together. I don't want to be one person out the front and no one else. I want us to go together in our discipleship journey so that we live in a sense of unity and purpose. One of the other things, Tessa served us. She made meals for us. She just cleaned up. She did a whole lot of stuff. That's not Tessa. That's Vinga serving us. We need to serve one another. No one asked her to do it. She just willingly stepped into that space and did so many things for us. And I noticed. Well done. It was lovely to see. And that's what we're called to do, isn't it? We're called to serve one another. We're called to listen to each other's stories. We sat around the table or lay on the floor and we listened to each other's stories. We need to listen to each other. I taught them up and down the river, so we played games together. Does anyone know up and down the river? Three of you, that's okay. There will be a counselling session in the back corner for those who don't know how to play. Just a card game, and it was interesting because one of them said, "I'm so glad you showed us how to do it and to just try to explain it, because it's not very easy to explain it in words. You've actually got to kind of do it together." But I'll tell you what, there was a lot of laughing. And we won't say who won. The person who knew the game always wins because you make rules to make sure you do. sorry. But also we were vulnerable with one another. We shared each other's stories. We'd said, what are some of the barriers? What are some things we're finding difficult with? And they dragged some of the stories of me and my failing leadership out. But also we celebrated together. That was the nicest can of Coke I've ever had. When you come down from a couple of days up in the hills and there was this nice cold can of Coke waiting for each of us and we cheered each other saying, we did it. We celebrated together. That's what being community is. And finally, we welcomed strangers. We were actually praying for one another. It was about 9:15. It was pitch black. It was hosing with rain. It was bleak. It was dark. And all of a sudden, there was this stomp, 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 and a headlight looking through the window at us. There were a few shrieks, I might say. But Davis, it's all right. It was no, there was a few shrieks, and there was a bit of... So some trampers had come up, and they'd come from Cambridge, and they just walked up in the dark because they got held up in traffic. And so they came up, but it did give you a fright when you expected to be by yourselves, and all of a sudden there's a couple of guys, and they're looking through in this hazy kind of light and reflections off windows, and like, it was interesting. But one of the team, was the first thing they did? They put some water on to boil them up a cup of tea. So welcome strangers. We stopped being vulnerable and sharing some of that stuff once they were in the room, and we played cards after that, but that's okay. But that's part of being community as well, isn't it? Part of welcoming the stranger. But we do it together. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to pick this up again next week. But we are on a discipleship journey. We want to be disciples following Jesus. We want to be a sense of community that is so strong in this place that it will form communities in every space that we are. And we want to be on a mission together, bringing that sense of God's transformation into every part of this city and more, which we'll pick up again next week. So, Lord, I want to thank you. Thank you for who this body is. Thank you for who you've called us to be. Lord, I pray that you would continue to grow us, that we would know what it is to join together and walk together on this discipleship journey. We pray that you would come and be with us, and that you would lead us, that we would hear your voice and your heartbeat, and we would be your people in our city. In Jesus' name I pray.